Morning, church. Turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 9, your Bibles. And as you turn there, let's pause and look to the Lord for His help. Lord God Almighty, what a privilege it is to gather to listen to You, to hear Your voice, to sing Your praises together, to be Your people gathered under Your name, worshiping the One who is worthy, the Lamb who was slain. Lord, as we open Your word, be at work in our hearts and our souls by Your Spirit. Open us up to Your truth and change us, shape us, make us more like Jesus. Help us to grow in our understanding, in our affection, in our appreciation for the good news that we treasure. Be at work in us. We invite You in Jesus, Your mighty name. Amen. We're in Numbers 9. A little bit of backstory. The children of Israel were sojourners in Egypt for 430 years. They were enslaved. They were oppressed. And then they cried out to the Lord for help. And Exodus 3 tells us, Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of My people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God stretched out His arm and redeemed His people with mighty acts of judgment against Egypt and against their gods, the climax of which was striking down all the firstborn of Egypt. But God made provision for all, any who would follow His instructions, to be protected. They were to select a male lamb, a yearling, without blemish, Exodus 12 tells us, and to kill the Passover lamb, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is on the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for Yahweh will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. That very night, at midnight, the Pharaoh sent the people out of the land of Egypt. On this original Passover in Exodus 12, the Lord gave instructions. This is to be an annual feast, to remember God's rescue out of slavery of Egypt. Exodus 12:14, this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. Now here in Numbers 9, at the foot of Mount Sinai, we are at the 1 year anniversary of the Exodus from Egypt. The Lord has delivered His people out of Egypt, met with them from the mountain. They have been encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai for a year. And Numbers 9 verse 1, Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time, according to all its statutes and all its rules, you shall keep it. So Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so the people of Israel did. Keep the Passover. God commanded that His people regularly remember His salvation. A year later, after His salvation, He reminds them, keep the Passover at the appointed time, in the appointed way. You see, we are prone to forget. Here, on the 1 year anniversary of the rescue out of Egypt, the people obeyed. They kept the Passover. They remembered. Sadly, the only other times in the history of Israel that the Old Testament records specifically that the Passover was kept were under Joshua as they entered the land, under King Solomon after dedicating the temple, under Hezekiah, under Josiah, under the returned exiles under Ezra at the rebuilt temple. That's a lot of years. We've got a record of only five, maybe six. There's mention it was kept under Samuel during the time of the judges. 2 Chronicles 30 says of Hezekiah's celebration, "For they had not kept it as often as prescribed." 2 Kings 23, under Josiah's celebration, 2 Kings tells us, "The king commanded all the people, keep the Passover to Yahweh your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant, for no such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges who judged Israel, or during all the days of the kings of Israel, or of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was kept to Yahweh in Jerusalem." It seems throughout most of her history, Israel failed to keep the Passover as the Lord had commanded them. And their failure to remember their salvation was reflected in their persistent rebellion, wandering away from the Lord. Failure to remember, neglecting to reflect, has consequences. A rekindling of remembering the Lord's mighty hand in deliverance brought revival. Here, still camped at Mount Sinai, the people at this point were obedient. They did all that the Lord commanded in the way that He commanded them. But there was a problem. There was a dilemma. Verse 6 tells us, "There were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day. And those men said to him, 'We are unclean through touching a dead body. Why are we kept from bringing Yahweh's offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel?' And Moses said to them, 'Wait, that I may hear what Yahweh will command concerning you.'" What do we do when in real life situations God's law conflicts? In Numbers 5, God commanded specifically everyone who is unclean through contact with a dead body was to be put outside the camp in order not to defile the camp in which he himself had taken up residence until they were purified. But here in Numbers 9, the command of the Lord is equally clear. Let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its statutes and all its rules, you shall keep it. Can't, must, how? What do we do? This is an honest question. By keeping one command, we violate another. God commanded for the unclean to be put out of the camp until they had followed His procedure for ritual cleansing, which in this case, according to Numbers 18, meant that they would be unclean for 7 days, which would mean they would miss the Passover celebration, which the Lord commanded to be kept at its appointed time. What do we do? Now, this is not the hypothetical question of the critic intended to trip up, implying that God's word cannot be trusted, who would refuse to believe even if given a credible answer to their questions. This is not that. Nor is this the question of a lazy unbeliever, someone looking for an excuse not to participate, to opt out, not to remember the Lord's salvation? This is a legitimate question from a believing member of the community who wants to participate fully, but who also doesn't want to bring shame into the community by participating while ceremonially unclean. We see this in how they frame the question. Why are we kept from bringing Yahweh's offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel? You can see they're not looking for a loophole in God's law. They're not looking for an excuse to do what they want. They want to remember. They want to be part of the community. They want to be connected, but they are prevented by their circumstances. What do we do? There is great wisdom in Moses' response. He doesn't give his own personal opinion. Well, here's what I think we should do. He doesn't claim to know the answer when he doesn't know the answer. He doesn't just make something up. Nor does he choose one command over the other. He doesn't condone, he doesn't make light of disobedience to any of God's commands. He doesn't say, it's really not that big of a deal. Just go ahead. It'll be fine. I'm sure it doesn't matter that much. No, he takes it to the Lord. He seeks wisdom from God. He is willing to say, I don't know, but I will ask. Can you wait with me for the answer? You see, God is okay with questions. Now, in this, we don't read, and fire came out from the Lord and devoured those who asked the question. Doesn't say that. The Lord does not rebuke Moses for bringing their question to him. You silly leader, you should have figured it out. No, this question actually gives opportunity for further revelation, further clarification. God answers. Numbers chapter 9, verse 9, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel saying, if any one of you or of your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall still keep the Passover to Yahweh. In the second month, not the first month, on the 14th day, at twilight, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones. According to all the statute, for the Passover, they shall keep it. But if anyone who is clean and is not on a journey fails to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people, because he did not bring Yahweh's offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger sojourns among you and would keep the Passover to Yahweh according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rule, so shall he do. You shall have one statute both for the sojourner and for the native. See, God meets us right here, right where we are, in real life, in all its complexities. And in response to this question, the Lord gives more than just an answer to their question. He gives grace. While still upholding the importance of remembering, he makes an accommodation to our weakness. We can't control all our circumstances. Like he gave an accommodation in chapter 6 to the Nazirite, if he is defiled by someone who suddenly dies around him, he gives accommodation here. They're to keep the Passover to Yahweh, but they must not keep it while unclean. In his grace, he allows a second opportunity to keep the Passover 1 month later, the second month. Not only for these questioners, but for future generations, he says. He's setting a precedent, not only for those in an unclean state, but also if someone is on a long journey. Now, this concession would have nothing to do with their present circumstances. The people are all journeying together through the wilderness, following the Lord's guidance, taking along with them his portable sanctuary where they are to make their sacrifices. They're on a long journey together. They're about to set out. That doesn't apply to the wilderness journey. This concession makes more sense after they're settled in the promised land with one central place of worship established by God. In that context, they may be on a journey where they're unable to make it to Jerusalem for the feast. We actually see this late Passover celebrated under Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. But God is also clear. This isn't a license to do whatever you want whenever you please. His grace is not a license to do as you please or to opt out of doing what he commands. They're given an opportunity for a late date, but it is a specific date. And they are to keep it at the right time, in the right way, according to all the statute for the Passover, they shall keep it. And there were consequences for a casual attitude toward God's commands. The person without a legitimate inability to keep the prescribed date, who simply chooses not to remember, shall be cut off from his people and shall bear his sin. Failure to remember, careless neglect, carried a severe consequence. But there is also grace here toward the foreigner. God delivered his people, Israel, out of Egypt. But a stranger, a foreigner, a sojourner is also welcome to assimilate into God's people. The sojourner is welcome to remember together with God's people God's salvation. Now understand the implications of what they would be saying to say, I want to keep the Passover. That stranger would be identifying himself with God's people, owning the God of Israel as his God, owning God, the rescue that God provided as his own rescue. The stranger was welcome to keep the Passover with God's people, but he must keep it according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rule. There was not to be two standards, one for the native Israelite, one for a different standard for the foreigner. No, the foreigner was to be held to the same standard. At the origin of the Passover, in Exodus 12, the Lord made it clear, no foreigner may eat of it. But if a stranger wanted to keep the Passover, he must be circumcised, and then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land. In other words, he would become part of the people of God. And then there was no double standard. He was welcomed as a native, not looked down on as a second-class citizen. God's grace at work. In Luke 22, Jesus said to his disciples, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus takes the Passover and makes it all about himself. The audacity of that, if he were not who he claimed to be. The original Passover was to remember Yahweh saving his people out of slavery, out of Egypt. But Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. The Passover, it's all about me. Jesus came to save his people from their sins, to seek and to save the lost. In the original, a lamb was killed and his blood applied to protect the firstborn. Jesus, the only begotten of his Father, makes a new covenant in his own blood. Jesus gave his flesh as life for the world. 1 Corinthians 5 calls Christ our Passover lamb who has been sacrificed. Peter likens Christ to a lamb without blemish or spot. In John 19 it says, of the crucifixion. Since it was the day of preparation so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The breaking of the legs of a crucified victim would speed up the excruciating death, unable to push up and get a breath. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. John was there. He watched this take place. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. Jesus is our greater Passover lamb, the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus extends his grace to every sinner who would come to him. But we must come to him on his terms. We must acknowledge Jesus for who he claims to be, the great I am. But it is not ceremonial uncleanness that he requires, not avoidance of everything that contaminates. He requires our death and resurrection. The old me must die. We must be made new in Christ, transformed by the Holy Spirit. Salvation is of the Lord. We simply take him at his word and trust that his blood is sufficient to satisfy his Father and secure my protection. All he asks in return is that we remember him. Celebrate regularly the salvation we enjoy. Welcome others into this salvation that we enjoy. Let's pray. Father, thank you. That the blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient. It was only a foreshadowing, only a picture of what your Son would do. Jesus, thank you for taking my place, standing in my place, taking the punishment I deserve, pouring out your blood as a new contract, a new agreement, that when your blood is applied to my life, I am protected from the righteous and just wrath of a holy God. I am cleansed. I am made new. Thank you that you meet us sinners right here, right where we are in the mess. You don't demand that we clean ourselves up first. You pursue us, you rescue the lost, and you put your Holy Spirit in us when we believe in you, and you promise to transform us by the resurrection power of the gospel, transform us into new creations to make us more like you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for that work that you do in us to cause our desires to change, to cause the old things to fall away, to give us eyes only for Jesus. Lord, be at work in each one of us today. Help us to remember our salvation. Thank you for your grace, a gift we do not deserve, we could never earn. Thank you for the good news that sets us free. Free from ourselves, free from our sins, free to be who you created us to be, free to worship you together as a community of believers. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite some of our men to come and prepare to serve us communion, bread and juice. This is what Jesus told us to do at that Passover celebration with his disciples. This bread is my body broken for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. We understand what we deserve. As sinners, we deserve hell. I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. I deserve to be under the wrath of God forever. But he doesn't want that for any of us. He sent his only son. He was willing to send his only begotten son, Jesus, to stand in my place, to stand in your place. He offers that freely as a gift. If we would simply acknowledge, yes, that's what I deserve, but I don't want what I deserve. I would rather have grace. Would you apply the blood of your son to my heart, to my life? So that when you see Jesus' blood on me, you know I'm cleansed. I'm no longer a sinner, but a saint. Welcomed. That alien, that stranger who has now become part of God's people. If that's you, if you're a believer in Jesus, take bread, take juice. I'd invite you. If this is new to you, if you're learning, if you have questions, we're here for you. We'd love to talk, love to answer questions. We just invite you to believe, to put your trust in Jesus. Say, yes, I'm a sinner. I understand what I deserve. I don't want that. I want the free forgiveness that Jesus offered. I want to be part of his people. I want to be invited in to his community of believers who are worshiping him. So we'll serve bread and juice. If you're a believer in Jesus, take that, hold on to it. Reflect as you hold that in your hands. Reflect on what he did for you. And once we've all been served, we'll give him thanks and take that together as a body of believers. Jesus, what a treasure we hold in our hands. Reminders of the gospel, the good news that when we were far from you, enemies, sheep that had gone astray, each going our own way, you, the good shepherd, pursued us, paid for us, bought us out of the slavery we got ourselves into, paid the price with your own precious blood and broken body. You loved us that much. You wanted us to make us your own, to bring us into relationship, covenant relationship with yourself. What a treasure we hold in the gospel. Thank you for giving yourself for the likes of me. His body broken for you, take and eat. His blood poured out to wash this sinner clean. Drink.